How settled is the science in the global warming climate change debate? Well, some liberals think it is so settled that those who deny it should be punished, stripped of their pedigrees, even if they have degrees in climatology. The founder of the Weather Channel does not believe in the theory of man-made global warming. Should he be punished? Some liberals say yes because of that. All this reminds me of the old Dr. Kennedy story of a church janitor who found the preacher's sermon notes on Monday morning. In the margin at one point, the preacher had written, "Argument weak, pound pulpit here." To discuss this nefarious climate change deniers is a leading climate change denier himself, Dr. Cal Beisner of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Hello, Dr. Beisner. So great to have you back on Vocal Point.
Well, hello, Jerry. It's great to be back. And yeah, if we define climate change as dangerous, overwhelmingly man-made climate change, then yep, I'm a climate change denier. But if we define climate change as, hey, Earth's climate has changed all the time, all the way through Earth's history, with warming and cooling going in cycles of various different lengths, driven almost entirely by natural causes, and recently with a tiny little increment added by human activity, all right, I can buy into that. I'm not a denier.
Hmm. Okay, so really the difference boils down to climate alarmism versus what? What would your position be?
I'd call it climate realism, or I'd call it just simply good science. The other side claims the planet that, quote, the science, unquote, is settled. And, you know,
that's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, it is an oxymoron to speak of science being settled. The key to science, as the late Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman put it, is that you constantly test your models, your hypotheses, your theories, your guesses, by comparing the predictions that flow from them with what you observe in the real world. And as he put it, you know, if it contradicts observation, if it contradicts experimental results, it's wrong. And it doesn't matter how smart you are or how famous you are or how beautiful your theory is or how many people agree with you. It's wrong. And the fact is that the global climate models on which the alarmists depend, on average, predict twice as much warming as actually has occurred over the relevant period. 95% of them predict more warming rather than less over that period, and if the errors were random, they would be wrong equally frequently above and below, but they're not, so the errors are clearly driven not by random error, but by some sort of bias written right into the models themselves. And finally, none of them predicted the complete absence of global warming over the last 18 years and 8 months. So the models are wrong. They provide no rational basis for any predictions about future temperature, and therefore no rational basis about any policies. But now, folks who point out things like that, which is a perfectly scientific thing to do, get accused of being science deniers and of being on the par with the folks who deny the reality of the Holocaust. And there are even folks saying that, as you pointed out at the start of the show, we ought to be investigated and prosecuted and perhaps incarcerated for holding such views.
You know, that is really an astounding thing. But let's go back to this 18-year point that you were making. It's my understanding since 1997 that reliable means of temperatures have shown that the Earth is not getting warmer, despite all, you know, the stuff we hear about the Earth is getting warmer and warmer, and we've got to do something about it.
Yeah, and, you know, how long you make that period, 18 years, 8 months up through September, is a very solid figure based on satellite data. Various other databases will give you slightly different answers to that, running anywhere from about 17 years to about 27 years now. The simple fact is that unless you do some very creative, the technical term for it is homogenizing perhaps a more accurate term, a better term for sensible people would be fudging of the numbers.
Wow.
Unless you do that, you cannot get a consistently rising global temperature over the last, say, 30 to 50 years. And in fact, even if you go through the entire satellite measuring period, 1979 through the present, using the satellite data without any fudging, what you get is a warming rate that is less than a third of what the models predict, which means clearly the models are just plain wrong.
Wow. Such a model would be such as the hockey stick?
Well, no. The hockey stick was a very famous attempt to graph global average temperature over the last 1,000 years, and it was featured very prominently
yes.
in the 2001 assessment report of the IPCC.
Oh.
That was based on what turned out to be extremely cherry-picked data from bad sources anyway, bristlecone pine trees and similar trees, unrepresentative and improperly handled as far as statistical methodology is concerned. The models that we're talking about instead are 114 computerized models. They're called, technical term escapes me at the moment, but at any rate, they are used by various different researchers related to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. They're coupled model intercomparison project models, now fifth generation. And they attempt to use computers to depict how the natural world responds to an increase in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. But the problem is models are only useful if they can predict, not if they can be made to accurately depict past temperatures, because that just means, well, you already know the answer, and now you put in the right numbers to make the answer appear through your model. No, you have to be able to predict what's coming. And when the models have been used to try to do that over the last 20 years or so, they are grossly wrong, and that means that the people who write the models still don't understand how the climate system works, which is not terribly surprising. It's an incredibly complex system with thousands of variables, most of which we really don't know how to quantify, and many of which we don't even know whether they increase or decrease the initial warming of a little added CO2.
Okay, now, a lot of times the motives of the climate change deniers is called into question. What about the research funding motive of the climate change believers, you know, the true believers in global yeah. warming alarmism? Explain about that, because I think that's an important facet to, understand.
Yeah, well, first of all, attacking somebody's motives is not the same thing as answering his argument. And to
kind
of substitute is called a logical fallacy. It's called the fallacy of argumentum ad hominem circumstantial. So it's fallacious whichever direction it's targeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do that kind of thing, well, you better get ready for something. Because the fact is that the folks on the alarmist side receive thousands of times as much funding as the folks on the skeptical side. Most of that funding comes from governments, which spend upwards of $1 billion a day on climate change research. And that money goes to the various different climate modelers and people in various laboratories and research units around the world. And they know that if they don't bring out alarming kinds of conclusions from their work, their research funding is going to dry up. President Eisenhower warned of exactly this kind of danger in his farewell address in 1961. People are familiar with the term military-industrial complex. Well, he was the one who coined that in that farewell address and warned about that problem. But he also warned that as science gets funded more and more by government, it becomes the servant of government, but we also run an opposite risk, that government then gets taken over by technocrats, by by scientific experts who substitute their own value judgments for the value judgments of the public. So we need to be careful about both things. The truth is that the other side has thousands of times more funding than the critics' side, but the critics' side has the much better scientific arguments.
Now, what would the, if the extremists on the other side of this debate had their way, what would they actually do with prominent global warming deniers? Let's begin with, let's say, Senator James Inhofe, and secondly, Cal Beisner.
Well, I'm not sure I'd put myself in the category of the most prominent of the dangerous man-made climate change deniers, but I guess I'm sort of up there. You know, what people like Al Gore and James Hansen and Robert Kennedy Jr. would do is have us put in prison. I've actually seen some folks, I have in mind a Swiss biologist, I think he is, who proposed a couple of years ago that people who think the way I do should be executed. There should be a capital crime. Just last month, 20.
Wait, explain. Why? Why? Is it because people like you are preventing the preventing us from preventing future Hurricane Sandys? Is that the thinking? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, yeah, surely the thinking behind these folks is, look, the case is so clear, so obvious, that anybody who questions it is really putting future generations at risk of huge catastrophes, maybe even, well, as Bernie Sanders put it in the Democratic debate a couple of weeks ago, making it so that for our children and grandchildren, the world might actually be uninhabitable. And so they think that that's a crime against humanity. Well, I suppose if things were that clear to be that bad, they might have a point, but they're nowhere near that clear. And even the vast majority of the climate scientists on the other side of this issue from me would not go anywhere near saying such a thing. But, as I said, Gore, Kennedy, Hansen, James Hansen, former director of the Goddard Institute for Space Studies, who's one of the most prominent of the climate alarmist scientists, they think that we should be prosecuted, that this should be criminalized. And Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat from Rhode Island, wrote back in May in the Washington Post that he thought that folks who think the way I do should be investigated and perhaps prosecuted under the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act.
Which means mafia.
To target the mafia.
Yeah,
right.
Mafia. Anti-mafia laws should be used against you to silence your free speech.
Because supposedly the folks who fund people like me, although our funding is overwhelmingly from private individuals and a little gifts of $25 and $50, but supposedly the folks who fund us are major corporations who have known all along that they are telling a lie, but they have business to protect. And so that's how they manage to describe this as racketeer-influenced and corrupt organizations activity. And also last month, 20 scientists led by one at George Mason University, actually five or six at George Mason University, who are now under investigation, possibly some of them, for misuse of federal grant funds. These 20 wrote an open letter to President Obama calling for criminal investigation and prosecution of climate skeptics, supposedly. And then also last month, the UK Supreme Court hosted a meeting of some of the top judges, lawyers, and legal experts in the International Criminal Court to discuss the possibility of making climate skepticism a crime, an international crime.
Wow. Okay, what is your website for more information? We're basically out of time.
CornwallAlliance.org, where your listeners can also sign a petition, Forget Climate Change, Energy Empowers the Poor.
Dr. Cal Beisner, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, bye-bye.